Welcome to BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.
Hello, friends and followers. It's Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Magazine today. I'm excited to be hanging out with Joe Rann, Vice President of Business Development and Innovation with World Energy. Hey, Joe, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, glad to be joining you.
And Joe, where are you joining us from, my friend?
So I am based here in Los Angeles, facility Paramount. A little history about the Paramount facility. It was around for a while, but by 1930, it was one of the refineries here in Southern California in its current configuration, and primarily producing a premium asphalt product running 55,000 barrels per day. And fast forward 80 years over that period, the world changed and gasoline specifications become cleaner, and more of the production went to the larger refineries, such as the ones in Texas. Consequently, the facility itself also went through a transition. Concurrently, World Energy is a 25-year-old company, and that, you know, started off really producing biodiesel before biodiesel existed. So World Energy has always been at the forefront of really developing the next generation decarbonization solution. So when this facility became available, it was a natural merge or natural opportunity. And so in 2016, this facility was converted into the world's first sustainable aviation fuel producer. And today it remains the only North American commercial scale sustainable aviation fuel producer. So this facility here is where I'm located at this time.
So that's out in Paramount, California, near Los Angeles. Yeah,
that is correct.
So Joe, thanks for that background for the audience. Let's get right into it. There are two projects happening, one in Paramount and one in Houston, which will be using innovative means to produce sustainable aviation fuel. Let's get into them a little bit. I guess start with Paramount.
Yeah, certainly. So Paramount, as I mentioned, we convert this facility into sustainable aviation fuels, which I'll, you know, use the acronym SAF going forward on this conversation. So the SAF facility is an ongoing operation, but we are converting the rest of the refinery. So as a result, by 2025-26 timeframe, this facility will be producing 250 million gallons of SAF per year. Concurrently, we have just kicked off the Houston project, very similar design. What we learned here in California, we're going to apply that and be able to accelerate that, that construction. And so very shortly after that, by 2026, Houston will also be producing 250 million gallons. Collectively, the reason we're targeting that is this will be about half a billion gallons. By 2030, World Energy is our goal is to be producing a billion gallons. And that's going to fit well with President Biden's objective to be producing 3 billion gallons of SAF in this country. We will contribute a third of that. And what we're doing is we're going to apply the latest generation of catalyst technology. So currently, these configurations are primarily used to produce renewable diesel, right? What we're doing is really taking that to the next stage. And this catalyst then, rather than producing predominantly renewable diesel, maybe some small amount of SAF, maybe about 10%, we will be producing 85 to 90% SAF. And it's going to have a different configuration to be more efficient as well. So we're very excited about really deploying this technology to be first in the world and to really bring it to scale at speed.
Joe, what are the feedstocks for Paramount and Houston? Are they the same?
It is essentially the same. It is a waste oil, right? And so it could be tallow, it could be French fry oil, so on. And but the great thing about it is, this is a feedstock that's going to be used for the hard to abate sector. Increasingly, as we work to decarbonize, we're going to need a lot of solutions, and certain solutions are more applicable to the highest demand. What does that mean? That means electrification is an option for some, you know, sectors, but for aviation, there's really not a lot of choices other than to have a substitute, a replacement liquid fuels. Hydrogen has been discussed, batteries have been discussed, but they don't travel the same range. So because of that, a lot of that feedstock that is applicable today, ultimately, those sectors can be electrified, and that feedstock will go to aviation.
Wow. Joe, let's get into that Houston site. Where is it?
It is located in Galena Park, the Houston Channel. A couple of things I'd like to talk to share why that site is so important. First and foremost, Houston is the epicenter of the energy world, right? As many of your listeners and yourself knows that the refining sector is a big part of that. In fact, 14% of refining capacity is located in Houston. So for us to be located there means that we have the ability to produce this very important clean product, sustainable aviation fuels, and have access to all the markets, pipeline connections that connects throughout the whole country. The other neat story about this is that this facility ultimately is a reuse. Right now, actually previously, it was a biodiesel plant. It was part of World Energy's business. And as I mentioned, this makes a lot of sense for us to convert to providing solution for hard to abate sectors, aviation. So it's an opportunity for us to reuse that facility to really bring a new solutions to the next generation of decarbonization.
So it was operating, right now it's idle, and then there's going to be demolition of that existing site?
Yeah, so it's idle. In fact, demolition is nearly complete, and we're about to kick off engineering. So then this will be a 2 to 3 year process. So as mentioned previously, 2026 is our objective to be coming online, to be operational.
2026. And is your engineering partner public? Is that named public? And who are your other general contractors or partners if they have been selected?
We're going through the selection process. We are talking to a lot of the really well-known companies. Just the fact is, this is an exciting space. A lot of companies want to participate in that. And so we're talking to those companies. We will share, you know, shortly, you know, who the companies are. But even after that selection, there's a lot of opportunities to partners in different ways.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you. Yeah, what are going to be some of those needs? You know, that's what our audience wants to hear. What is going to be the demand from some of those suppliers and industrial service contractors? Like you said, or once that engineering phase is there, yeah, what all are you going to need?
I would say, I mean, first and foremost, these projects is a job creation opportunity. So. Skill labor, right? This is a very important strength of the Houston area. That's an important part. Materials. I mean, these are essentially the people in the refining sectors knows this. It's really heavy steel reactors, pipes, pumps. You know, your traditional process industry types of equipment. We're going to be kicking off that activity.
That's great. What about tanks? You're going to lease it from a local tank farm, or how are you handle?
Yeah. I think our core capabilities at the end of the day is to build these projects, operate these facilities. We certainly in Paramount, we also included building a tank farm, but Houston is just like, it's got great logistics assets. We're better off, you know, partnering with somebody who has that strength. And so then we can each do our part well.
Sounds great. Look, talk about sustainable aviation fuels, Joe, kind of like more macro. What are some of the challenges? You know, what does it take to pull off SAF? Obviously, you got a lot of support right now from the federal government, but what have been some of the challenges?
I'd say that I would say two challenges. One is time. You know, everybody is talking about 2050, that we need to take action soon. Today, the world consumes 100 billion gallons of jet fuel. And we need to really displace that and find a good substitute. The Houston project, as big as it is, that we are very proud of, you know, couple that with the Los Angeles, we just need a lot more of these projects. And so I think the challenge is really people get enamored with the next innovations, and even the US government is really continues to rightfully award a lot of these new innovations. The solutions exist, and we just need to really find partnerships that bring the solutions efficiently to the market. I think the other challenge is that fact that there's still a lack of recognition, the importance of sustainable aviation fuels to really completely decarbonize the aviation sector. And what do I mean by that? For the first time, the material we produce have a specification that is driven by operations, right? And yet another specifications that is driven by decarbonization. And what do I mean by that? We all know that jet fuel has very, very specific specifications that you need to comply with. And that's what we're producing, is a drop-in fuel. But each type of jet fuel has a different carbon footprint. And depending on your feedstock that you use and the process that you use, 1 gallon of jet fuel, one producer may not have the same low carbon footprint as another. So as a result, if somebody buys a very low carbon footprint type of jet fuel, can really decarbonize the entire flight versus 10% of the flight or 20% of the flight, right? And so we're bringing those premium products to the market, and the market has not really quite wrapped its mind is thinking around that aspect yet, that there's a differentiation, that one SAF is not the same as another SAF. And I think that's really the opportunity to unlock this industry.
Yeah, that's interesting, Joe. I never really heard it said that way, that standard that's still sort of being worked out, you know?
Yeah. I think less of a standard, performance standard, totally locked in, very safe. It's the market standard that has given it the right value.
It makes tons of sense. Well, Joe, let's get into some other technologies that World Energy is pioneering. Can you tell us about some of that?
Yeah, so World Energy, as mentioned, our DNA is about decarbonizing. So aviation is one sector. Another one that is, we frankly was quite ahead of it, but just barely ahead of it by a year, is green hydrogen. And lo and behold, that's a very hot topic these days, right? With the Inflation Reduction Act. A little bit of history there. When we make sustainable aviation fuels, it requires hydrogen. And we went seeking for the lowest carbon hydrogen. That led us down the path of another project up in Canada that is really taking wind energy and converting that to green hydrogen. It also taught us how to make green hydrogen, low carbon hydrogen in California. What that means is that in California, along with the sustainable aviation fuel project, we're going to bring to market 60 tons per day of low carbon hydrogen to California. In Houston, what we're also going to do is to use that green hydrogen and make an e-fuel. What that means is we're going to take that hydrogen combined with capture CO2, which there are a lot of projects starting to kick off in the Texas area, Houston area. And we're going to take those two feedstock, really unlimited feedstock, and produce a SAF with that. We're very excited about that. And we're going through the analysis to really make that phase two of Houston.
And what's the challenge there, Joe? Enough volume to make that product, something that's commercially viable?
You got it right on the head. When it's scale right, it is going to be commercially viable. It's finding the right partners, right? There's a lot of momentum around hydrogen, but frankly, it's still a relatively new industry. Right. Well, CO2, capture CO2, in fact, didn't exist until the federal government stepped in and incentivizing that. Mm-hmm. We are looking for those partners to say, hey, we got a project. If you're in the CO2 capture business, I'd love to talk to you.
Interesting, Joe. So still developing and have incredible aspirations for developing this green hydrogen and ultimately to SAF.
That's absolutely right.
Well, Joe, this has been unbelievable, man. Thank you so much for, spending some time with us today. I've got a million other questions, but I'm going to save some of those for maybe future interviews. Look, as this project develops, man, by all means, come on, please give us some updates on milestones. Certainly keep us abreast of what you guys need out there. We're more than happy to get that message out. I'd love to meet you two face-to-face next time you're around the Houston area. I know that our door is always open.
Oh, definitely love to come by for a visit.
And Joe, just a little bit more about yourself, man, for people to get to know you, man. What do you do when you're not working hard at World Energy? What are your interests?
Well, so a few things. I used to love camping, hadn't done that as much, but just, you know, that the night sky without light pollution is always like my favorite part of camping. Awesome. Another thing I love to do is really just traveling around the country. My objective is to visit all 50 states. I visited 33 states so far, so, you know, a few more to visit. And then lastly, this is a guilty pleasure. I love the NFL. So the draft, that's the top of mind for me right now.
what's your team out there?
Oh, geez. I tell people this and I'm a little embarrassed to share. I'm a Raiders fan.
All right. Hey, man, don't be ashamed of your Raiderdom. Let it fly, Joe. Let it fly.
That's right.
Nice, man. Well, I love it. Well, Joe, love spending time with you, man. Appreciate you hanging out with us. And just thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, my pleasure.
And for everyone listening, if you want to learn about World Energy, visit worldenergy.net. Joe, again, we'd love to have you back. And we thank all of our audience for being here today. As always, we're grateful for you. Please like and share this recording. And for more industry news, videos, and podcasts, visit BICmagazine.com. Remember, everybody, it's what we do together that counts.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast. Log on to BICmagazine.com for industry news and resources. BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.